I'm not very loud. I'm not very loud. I am now. Okay. I can hear me now. There we go. Hey, y'all follow me, okay? Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, Lord, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me, Lord, and I will follow you all of my days. Let's bow for a moment. Lord, we're fixing to get into your word here. And Lord, I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit that is within us, that will come out and really strive to help us to understand your word, Lord. And I can't stress that enough. And so, Lord, may we be attentive to your gentle voice to us. And sometimes it may hit us over the head, but now, Lord, we want to know your word, and that's what our prayer is, to understand as much as we possibly can. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week we talked about Jacob fleeing from Laban. And then the Lord spoke to Jacob, and he said, let's go. He said, I want you to go back home. Then he got his wives together, and they talked about that dream that he had. And they came to an agreement, and the girl said, let's go. And so they took off. And on the third day, Laban found out that they had left, and he took off after him and got his family together, caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Whenever he caught up with him, Laban took off on Jacob. He let him have it, so to speak. And we went through some difficulties there in communication. And then Laban went into the tents of the people there and started looking for the things that he thought it had been stolen from him. And that's about as far as we got last time, wasn't it? Yep, right here it says, Laban went off on Jacob first, and then it's Jacob's turn. And he's angry. And he says, Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. What is my crime, he asked Laban. How have I wronged you that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of me, in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between us. I'm thinking he doesn't know how close he came, does he? Because there was a lie going on here, and it wasn't. He had all the confidence in the world, didn't he? Let's go on. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks. And you changed my wages 10 times. Now, y'all remember what those wages were? Yeah, the herds. Now, what did Laban do? He kept on changing the agreement, didn't he? Oh, yeah, he did that. He changed the agreement, but whatever happened. Whatever Laban did, what happened? What actually came? If Laban gave him those wages, what happened to the wages? They just, whatever, the wages were the spotted ones or the striped ones or the blotched ones or whatever. And every time Laban would change that from, let's say, a striped one to a blotched one, that sort of thing, guess what? All of the goats born were blotched. You know, whatever those requirements were, it just happened that way. Well, okay. Okay, number 42. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac. If the God of my father, that's Isaac, right? The God of Isaac and the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. What's this? What is this fear of Isaac? Oh, by the way, we need some mics. Who wants to do some mics? Go for it.
Jacob has his father Isaac to contend with when he goes back home. So that fear of his father is still prevalent.
Okay.
So it's still a motivation for him to that he has to deal with.
Yeah, to do right. Okay. Anybody have another take on that? I think that's going to come up again. Okay. If the God of my father and the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, if those things had not been with him, what would have happened? Would his wages have come out the way they did?
God wouldn't have been on the side. He wouldn't have had anything.
Okay. Did y'all hear that? Say it again.
If God wouldn't have been on his side, he really wouldn't have had anything.
Right. Yeah. Then you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. What was the first thing that Laban did? Whenever they made that agreement, what did Laban do? He took all those spotted sheep, all those striped sheep and everything. What did he do? He took them away. His sons took them away. How far? 3 days, right? So he took all of the, what he thought was the gene pool, and took him out of there so that this deal that he made with Jacob would fall, right? But is that the way it worked? No, it sure didn't. Okay, so that gene pool was gone, and that's what Laban did. That's what he was supposed to do. But what was the result? God foiled his plan. Okay, cool. Okay, let's go to the next one. It says, but God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. What happened last night? What was that rebuke?
Don't say anything good or bad.
Yeah. God told Laban, do not say anything good or bad about Jacob. Right? So then they got together. Okay. So Laban answered Jacob, the women and my daughter. Let's see. Let me see. By the way, how should Laban have responded to God? In obedience, whatever he said, and I say he did. Okay, because I don't believe God struck him down. But I think I would have fallen down on my face if God was talking to me, and I recognized him as your God, right? Yeah. Okay. So Laban answered Jacob, the women are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks are my flocks, all you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine or the children they have born? What's Laban trying to do here? Okay. He's trying to gain his whatever back. His face? He's losing face. He's losing a lot of stuff. But even more than that, and we'll see in a minute. Okay, any more about that? All right. Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I. Let it serve as a witness between us. Okay, who said that? Laban said it. So Jacob said, all right, in a couple of days we'll do something. Is that what happened? No. It says, so Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And then he said to his relatives, gather some stones. So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate by the heap. Now, he put one up, right? I'm sure a long stone is easy to find out there in the desert, and he just stuck it up there. That was the pillar. And then he said, okay, all you guys come over here and grab some of these smaller stones and make a stack. All right, so what do these things represent? We have a pillar and we have a heap of stones. Okay.
A covenant.
Okay, right. There's a covenant. There's always there's an agreement going on here. But what does the pillar represent? What does the stack of stones represent? Okay, it's a witness. Yeah. Okay.
That know about this covenant or agreement between Laban and Jacob.
Yes.
So it's like today we have the internet to broadcast, like Facebook. We made this agreement with there. That's their version of the internet. It's making these markers.
It was definitely a sign, wasn't it?
Right.
Something went on there. But I want to ask the question. There is a difference between the pillar and then this stack of stones. What was that difference? So Jacob took a stone, put it up as a pillar, and said to his relatives, gather some stones and put them up there too as a pile, okay? And so they have that heap.
He said the heap was a witness. I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
Well, yeah, that's a witness, yeah. Okay, now the pillar. There's how many pillars? One. How many stones are there? Many. Does that give you a hint? Who was Jacob's God? One God, right? How many gods were there in Laban's life?
Multiple.
Yeah.
So those stones were actually pledges to, on Laban's part, to the multiple gods he worshiped or at least tried to please. So I'm swearing on this one, and I'm swearing on this one, and this one. But with Jacob, there's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easier for him to make a pledge.
Right. Now, that one stone represented Jacob and his tribe. The pile of stones represented Laban and his tribe because of what? Well, gather some. Well, the pillar represented God as one God, heaps many. Now, was Jacob being politically correct here? I don't remember where I got it from. Pardon me? I was just asking for a reference that those represented those. I don't remember where I got that from. And I didn't put it down here. Maybe I should have done that as a footnote. But, okay, now, was Jacob trying, this is my question now, was Jacob trying to be politically correct and putting everything together? I mean, this was an agreement between a God man and a many gods man, right? And so they put a representative stone for one and a pile for the other one. And it was an agreement, right? Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah, down here. And they ate as a heap. By the way, somebody look over there in Genesis 26, 28 through 30. Genesis 26, 28 through 30. Who wants to look that up? Well, somebody find it and hold up your hand whenever you got it, okay? Genesis 26, 28 through 30. Now, my question is, why a meal? Why did they have a meal by the stone?
At that time in that culture, breaking bread with your fellow human is a form of signing a contract sometimes, or opening your household or your hospitality to your neighbor.
Yes.
It's breaking bread is showing fellowship.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, 26, 28 through 30.
Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuza, his
that's
personal...
That's not the one I'm thinking about.
That's 26, 26 through 28?
Genesis 26?
Yeah, what? I just think I read... You
oh,
told
okay,
me 26
okay, go
through
ahead.
28.
Go ahead then.
Do you want all of it or you just want one verse?
I said, what did I say, 26? 28 through 30.
28 through 30. They answered, we are clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said,
okay,
there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord. Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, rather than going back to the Lord, back to the law, to find out that, we just went to an example of it, okay? And that's what that is, an example of having a meal with that covenant. All right, and that's not the last we're going to have. All right, so they ate there by the heap. Now, Laban called this place Jager Hadutha, and Jacob called it Galeed. What does Jager Hadutha mean?
Witness heap.
And what? And that is in Aramaic, right? And what does Galeed mean?
Witness heap.
And that's in Hebrew. Okay, yeah. Witness heap, right. That's in verse 47. Witness. A heap of witness is what I have here. Heap of witness. Okay. Okay, then Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me today. That is why it was called Galeed. This is the narrator speaking. And that's why it's called Mizpah. And Mizpah means, does anybody know right offhand?
Watchtower.
Yes, the watch post, right. Because he, that is Laban, said, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are far away from each other. You know, I get the idea that Laban here is, he's kind of self-aggrandizing. Let's, you know what I mean, self-aggrandizing? Okay, well, let's go a little further. Let's see what happens. if you mistreat my daughter, this is Laban speaking. If you mistreat my daughters, or you take any wife besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me. Does he really have to tell Jacob that? I think he's trying to introduce something here. Something else. Maybe it's confusing or something. Yeah, okay. between you and me. Let's see. Laban is losing something here, and I think it's his importance. He's losing significance, and he sees it. And these words that he's saying that kind of confuses things are his knee-jerk reaction trying to get back into graces somehow or find some control over the situation. And he's not having a whole lot of luck, but he's saying a lot of words. And, you know, politicians can say a lot of words without saying a whole lot.
Laban was perfectly okay oppressing his daughters himself. He was perfectly okay with using them as a form of payment for Jacob's labor.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's trying to hold Jacob to a different standard.
Yeah.
And reminding him that God is watching out for him, because he knows he can't do anything to Jacob.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just interesting to see that, and that happens. I think that we might can look at other people and try to hold them to a different standard than we hold ourselves to.
Yes.
And that leads to some issues, and obviously led to issues for Laban.
Right. Okay. Any other comments? All right. Don't hesitate. This next one, 51, this is crazy. Laban also said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me." What? What? Who did that?
Jacob.
Yeah, go back to 47, 48. I mean, you can go by 45, 46. See, he's still trying to weasel in there somehow. Trying to influence the crowd. I don't know. I'm not too sure what. But that's what he said. And so what's up with this?
Verse 36 says, "They took the stone." He asked his relatives. So could have been all the relatives.
Right. Could have been all of them.
By Jacob's direction.
Yeah.
It was by Jacob's window.
Yeah.
Jacob started it. Right.
Yes. All right. I'm that way too. Okay, that's what I'm feeling about that. But yes, if it's a family thing, if it's both sides, great. It was still an agreement between God, you know, and many gods over there, you know. And was it the right thing to do? If Laban talked to God the night before, and he's still insisting on being a man after several gods, what does that say for him? Huh? That to me is amazing, you know.
He witnessed God. I mean, Laban experienced the true God, so you think somebody from out of left field talking to you, mm-hmm. and you get the insight that this is the one true God, you should need to repent. I mean, you need to realize he's the real thing, he's the real deal.
Right.
And these little gods you've been worshiping, you've been honoring all this time, are not doing a squat. So reject the little G's and go for the big G.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, then finally a little sensibility comes in here. Laban says this. He says, "This heap is a witness and a pillar is a witness that I will not go past this heap to your side and harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side and harm me." Is that what it's there for? Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole deal, you know.
Setting up boundaries.
Yeah, right. Setting up boundaries. And if they do come across it, it's an insurance that they come across peacefully, right? Okay. So, what do you call that, by the way? When Hitler and Stalin got together and they made this pact right before World War II, right before we got into World War II, what was it called?
The Axis of Powers.
Well, yeah, Axis of Powers, but what did they call that treaty? It was a treaty of non-aggression. Yeah, a treaty of non-aggression. And that's what this is. And that's why this part, this 52 here, is probably the most sane thing that was said in this whole passage. Okay, number 53. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge between us. That's Laban speaking. Where did this come from? Who is Nahor? Now we know Abraham, right? Nahor is who? Abraham's father? Okay.
It was Abraham's father.
and the God of their father, who was Terah, right?
Yeah.
Anybody remember that? Okay, so we got, now, so this is, and he's saying basically the same thing. Nahor and Terah, were they one God people, or were they many God peoples?
Many God.
Many God, yeah. Yeah, and so, and Laban was not giving up on those many gods. And he did recognize that it was an agreement between those two ideas of one God and many gods. Comments, anybody?
You get a real picture of Laban's view of God.
Uh-huh.
And on one hand, earlier, as he's trying to convince Jacob to stay,
mm-hmm.
he sees God as the source of all the blessings
yeah.
that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he's not looking at the blessings from God. He's not looking at the graciousness of God. He's looking at the wrath of God and trying to instill in Jacob a fear for God. Where I think yeah. Jacob already had that fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he got that fear mm-hmm. from his father. But but Laban's view of God was always shifting.
Yeah.
And it was never completely accurate. Mm-hmm. Maybe he would see one aspect of God, one characteristic of the mm-hmm. nature of God, but he never saw the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so to him, the one God was still many gods.
Yeah. You know what words came into my mind whenever you were saying that? Political correctness. Man, that chair on wheels. Hey, right here. Yeah, go for it.
Just kind of expounding on that. Laban was basically told, you better not lay a hand on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to level this playing field. Let's get a little barrier now, so don't come after me.
Yeah.
So he's kind of protecting himself there.
Yeah.
He's using
yeah.
his leverage, like yeah. he said, with God.
Yeah.
Putting God in there.
Yeah.
He's a tricky little man.
Yeah. Why would Jacob want to go over there and get something from Laban? How much of Laban's stuff did he have?
A lot.
Probably all of it. I mean, he didn't. He was ready to go. You know, yeah. Anybody else? Okay. So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. It doesn't say anything about the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It just says the fear of his father Isaac. What do you think is going on there?
He knows that he has Isaac and Esau in the back of his mind. He hasn't forgotten that. So that fear for his father and his brother is keeping everything in proper perspective.
Yeah.
And he has to deal with that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's trying to make things right with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's got more to go to.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking about Laban is chasing him, and he has Esau waiting on him, right? And I had some different thoughts on that, but that's good. I like that. Thank you.
Didn't he send him to Laban? Who sent him to Laban?
That was Isaac.
Mm-hmm. And so
Rebecca.
Rebecca did?
Yeah, well, I think it was, I can't remember.
Isaac,
I can't remember.
Rebecca.
If it was, yeah.
Because he's trying to keep this a happy little family here.
Yeah.
Rebecca was the one that sent him because she was in fear for Jacob's life. That's why.
That's right.
So and Esau was planning to murder Jacob. So Rebecca said, "Leave Dodge right now because your brother's going to be
leave
under
Dodge.
Bud." I'm into a western.
I like
movie.
That. That's almost.
So leave town right now because your brother's on the hunt for you.
Yeah.
So it was really Rebecca, mm-hmm. not Isaac.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yes.
If I remember correctly, when Isaac last saw Jacob, he told him not to marry one of these
Canaanite
Canaanite women to go back to your to Rebekah's house, to my brother's house, and get a wife. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I believe this fear of his father Isaac is a reference to God.
Okay.
A clear reference.
Okay,
to
good.
God. We think back, if we start back to when Jacob deceives Isaac, we see as soon as Esau comes in and Isaac realizes that he had blessed Jacob and not Esau.
Yeah.
His plan to go around God's plan had not worked out for him, actually backfired. He trembled violently.
Yes.
Or trembled with great trembling. That's fear.
Yes.
Right? Then we fast forward a little bit, and Jacob arrives at Laban's house, and he tells Laban all these things.
Mm-hmm.
All this that's happened. And I think included in that is the reason why he's there.
Yeah.
Which would have included, look, I tricked my dad.
Yeah.
And he is scared to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, mm-hmm. it's one and the same.
Yes.
But there was Isaac would have had at this point a different view of God than, mm-hmm. than Abraham
mm-hmm.
would have had at most times in his life.
Yes.
And, you know, things would get better, but right now, for Isaac, mm-hmm. God was a fearful being.
Yeah. Okay, cool. My little note on that one was this fear of his father Isaac. Either the word fear is a surrogate for God, or the fear of God that Isaac had for God was his influence, okay? And he knew that his father had that fear. What did this show about Jacob? Fearing God? Well, him and Isaac, yeah. And it showed that they had faith or not.
Jacob had a lot of reverence, I think. I'm going to use the word mm-hmm. reverence.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of reverence and honor for God because he personally had an experience with God or one of his angels
mm-hmm.
when he climbing the ladder. So he knew that God, the real God, was authentic, was true, and he was the real McCoy.
The real
so
deal.
He had a lot of faith and a lot of deep appreciation of the God of his ancestors.
Yeah, cool.
So he had it heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
His experience with the angel made it more real for him. It
yeah.
became alive for him. It became part of his being. So he knew that God was alive and kicking.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
You know, it just occurred to me, the fear of his father Isaac. Isaac had been sacrificed and not mm-hmm. killed because God stopped his father Abraham. So Isaac had a real upfront close view of God and his power, and he stopped Abraham from killing. So don't you think that maybe that's what this is referring to?
Could be.
I see, at that time, they had a lot of oral history by word of mouth. And also, it was my understanding, they recorded a lot of things on their staffs from some of the research I was doing that... the father Abraham, the lineage, the genealogy, was written on hardwood staffs that they used for walking sticks,
mm-hmm.
and it would be passed on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a continuous record of the lineage of their ancestors. So they had a written record of that. But also they had the word of mouth, too.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. they passed down these stories mm-hmm. to each generation, and they have long-term memories.
Yes.
So that from that alone can influence an individual.
Yes, you bet. Okay, thank you. Any more comments on that? All right, then. He offered a sacrifice. He says, so Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. Another one, right? A meal. And after they had eaten, they spent the night there. Now, that's sacrifice. What do you think that was? I'm just offhand. I mean, it could be a lot of things. But what do you think the sacrifice was? What type of sacrifice?
It's a Thanksgiving and also sealing the deal, so to say.
Sealing the deal. Okay.
Sealing the deal. Yeah. Like, this is what we're doing, mm-hmm. and this is signifying. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. making a sacrifice like that was very, very special and very important in that mm-hmm. culture.
Yeah, a burnt sacrifice is for sin, and a fellowship offering is for fellowship, friendship, Thanksgiving. Yeah. All right. Anybody want to comment on that sacrifice offering? Yes.
The expression of praise and thanks to God in front of these pagan relatives that mm-hmm. were still there. Laban hadn't left yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And Laban's sons haven't left yet.
Yes.
And so here you have this peace accord, I guess, maybe you could call it.
Non-aggression pact.
And Jacob making this oath to God and offering this sacrifice of thanksgiving and yeah. at least recognition to God in front of these people who really didn't have a faith in God.
You're right. Yeah. I think that's cool. You know, that's a good example. Don't we pray every day to be a good example to everybody around us? I think that's pretty cool. All right. No more comments. I'll go ahead and finish this thing up. It says, early next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them, and he left for home. Now we're going to go ahead and go into 32:1. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Whoa, the angels of God. Where had he seen those angels of God before?
Bethel.
Where?
Bethel.
Bethel. What's Bethel?
The house of worship.
Yeah, 20 years earlier. Yeah, all those... up and down, up and down. Yeah, 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 cool. What did you say?
Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven. All right. I like that song too. Okay, so when Jacob saw them, he said, this is the camp of God. So he named the place Mahanaim, Mahanaim, which means camp, God's territory, two camps. What do you have? Huh? Two camps. Right. Okay. So the angel. By the way, would this made him feel good or bad seeing those angels?
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. Now, what was God's promise to him? I will be with you. Yeah. You bet. Fantastic. Oh my word. Hey, you're right. James told me, you're going to be doing good to get through the rest of that chapter tonight. I said, no, I'll be in 32 big time. I'll let you have it. He said, no, you take it. Okay, thank you for your attention.